whether they need it or not. And I don't care about my colleagues over there and Republicans. If they're going to say one thing about themselves and do just the opposite, I'm going to bring it out to the public. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Phillips.
Could we have just a brief ease?
The House, please stand at ease. There is a... Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we still have the motion pending before us to concur with the Senate amendment, that amendment being the effective date clause. Any further debate? Representative Boucher.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to be brief, I promise you, on this, because I know the hour is late. But really, we've talked all around the subject this morning. I've talked to members of the body. I've talked to the governor on this. And there's things about what we're doing now that I would prefer to do a different way. But I guess we're in our 52nd day, and really what we're talking about is balancing the books, and in the remaining short days that we've got ahead, fashion a budget. I'm sure that the governor would prefer to do it different. But this is what we've got in front of us, and we sit around and either let the clock click and call each other names, or we get this behind us. And I'm going to vote affirmative, and I have my reservations, but the governor's on point as this, as well as both bodies. And I think the people of the state want to see us get on with the business and not just spend most of our time in the chicken yard separating the gray from the white. I think that we just need to move ahead, whether we're totally comfortable with it or not, and hope to do much better in the budget that we've still got to come to grips with. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Boyer.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Donnelly.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I've done a lot of soul searching about this effective date vote, and I've been told there's no deal, and instead, Mr. Speaker, we're asked to vote in a vacuum of information with no sure way to know how this appropriation will affect this or next year's budget. And we all know the budget numbers are grim, but if we use the entire budget reserve account right now, what are we going to use for next year? And my constituents, Mr. Speaker, they're not the most sophisticated politically, but I think they do understand that it's unwise to use our last dime this year to of reserve money without knowing what we really need. And most of all, and most important to them, they don't want us to take any action that's going to have an impact upon the permanent fund earnings this year. Because of this, Mr. Speaker, I voted against this bill, but Mr. Speaker, I intend to vote for the effective date for this bill because I don't believe or don't want to hold up this legislation on a technical or procedural amendment or motion. But I wish I could feel better about this vote today, and I wish I knew I was making the right decision with all the facts in front of me, because I'm not convinced it's the right thing to do, but I'm going to accept it as the only thing that we can do right now. Thank you.
Representative Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think many things in life are a matter of timing, and I submit to this body that the timing on this bill is wrong. Mr. Speaker, I want to refer to an article in the Anchorage Times by former Senator Clem Tillian entitled Profiles in Gutlessness, an Alaskan Tale. And the past senator talks about don't cut government to balance the budget. Don't raise taxes, it might offend a few contributors. Just plunder every account, including stealing some of the earnings of our grandchildren in our permanent fund. If they ever write a book on Alaska's government, the chapter on 1987 should be entitled Profiles in Gutlessness. And the good senator goes on to say, I don't have many illusions left, but I did expect some part of the leadership to say, we want no part of this easy fix. It's morally and fiscally wrong. And Mr. Speaker, I submit that that is my position. It is wrong to be part of this deal because it is morally and fiscally wrong. It is wrong timing to take these funds before we have the March revenue forecast. It is wrong timing to take these funds before we have the revised budget. It's wrong to piggyback one bill on top of another. And Mr. Speaker, I guess I'm old-fashioned. There are times when I feel we have to stand up for the principles of an issue. And Mr. Speaker, the principles around this deal smell. As a matter of fact, they stink. And that is why I have no problem in my conscience voting against this bill and for its effective date. Thank you.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to be on record that my vote in favor of this effective date does not signify my acceptance or agreement with the other causes of this arrangement that have been discussed here on the floor, both the last time we considered this and today. And I have some of the same reservations that have been mentioned. However, I think we should keep in mind how our actions are going to look to the outside world and the outside people looking in on Alaska and how we're handling our fiscal situation. And I have looked at these numbers very carefully, and I think it is correct that the budget, the amount of money in the budget reserve fund is going to be needed to cover the expenditures that are made or that have already been made. And therefore, I feel that it is appropriate to vote to concur. However, I do feel that it is not appropriate at this point to be spending monies out of the permanent fund earnings reserve, and I'll be making a stand on that issue. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further debate on the motion to concur? Representative Pettyjohn.
Just very briefly, Mr. Speaker, in line with what the representative from downtown said, I think it is appropriate for us to think of the way that with this body votes and how it acts is viewed by the outside world, and I'm not disassociating myself with other arguments that have been made against voting for this effective date, but my vote against it is a vote against the way this House conducts its business. It's a vote against the way we spend our money, and it's a vote for a change in the way the state of Alaska and its legislature operates. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Robert Frost wrote a poem. It was called The Path Not Taken. And it talks about a walker in the woods who comes to a fork in the road. And the question is, what if he had taken the other path? The answer is one never knows. We can go down the left side, we can go down the right side, but if we stand in the center, we're doomed. We've made this decision, we're going to be asked to make a series of decisions. And this is the first in a series of decisions that's going to come before this body. If we don't pass the effective date clause, we're making no decision, and we're going down neither fork. The public won't stand for that. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. While we're talking about Robert Frost and some of the other things that are important here historically, I'd just like to say that it's unfortunate that we have this piece of legislation back before us in the manner in which we have it. We have some things in this bill that are questionable and that obviously do not have the ability to stand on their own merits. If they did have their ability to stand on their own merits, they would be before us. Why don't we have the other parts of the deal presented to us at the same time we have this piece of legislation? And we've heard debate on that. But I would like to comment, Mr. Speaker, and I hope you will give me the latitude. It's very short. We were talking about Robert Frost a while ago. Rudyard Kipling, 100 years ago, said, "It's always a temptation for an armed and agile nation." No, excuse me. "It's always a temptation for a young and agile nation to call upon a neighbor and to say, 'We invaded you last night. We are quite prepared to fight unless you pay us cash to go away.' And that is called asking for Danegeld, and the people who ask it explain that once you have paid them the Danegeld, then you'll get rid of the Dane. It's always a temptation for a rich and lazy nation to puff and look important and to say, 'Though we know we should defeat you, we have not the time to meet you. We will therefore pay you cash to go away.' And that is called paying the Danegeld, but we've proved it again and again that once you have paid them the Dengeld, you'll never get rid of the Dane. It's wrong to put temptation in the path of any nation, for fear they should succumb and go astray. So when you are requested to pay up or be molested, you'll find it a better policy to say, we never pay anyone Dengeld, no matter how trifling the cost, for the end of that game is oppression and shame, and the nation that pays is lost.
No, that's for Friday, Shakespeare Friday. Any further debate? Are you ready for the question?
The question is, shall the House concur in the Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 89 finance, that amendment being the effective date? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk take the roll?
29 yeas, 11 nays.
The House concurs, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 89 Finance.
Under unfinished business, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have several requests for excused absence. I move and ask unanimous consent that the following representatives be excused from the call of the House as indicated. Representative Pierce, from 5 p.m. Thursday, March 12, to plain time Monday, March 16. Representative Taylor, from after session Wednesday, March 11, to plain time Monday, March 16. Representative Miller, from after session Wednesday, March 18, to plain time Monday, March 23. Representative Collins, from 9:30 a.m. Sunday, March 15, through plain time Tuesday, March 17.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objection, those members mentioned by the Majority Leader excused from the call of the House. Any further unfinished business to come before this body? Announcements of standing committees or special committees. Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill number 54, which was in subcommittee, an act relating to Seismic Hazard Center, will be heard this afternoon along with the other bills. Thank you.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, the subcommittee from the Resources Committee that's dealing with House Bill 93, Recreation Rivers, will meet again tomorrow at 3 p.m. discussing mineral leasing and permitting and planning on state lands. And everyone's welcome.
Representative Sun.
Having at ease.
The House, please stand at ease.
So, to be announced, we'll put it on the bulletin board. My office will be able to tell people what time.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Cotton. Representative Sund?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, on Friday in the Judiciary, we'll have House Bill 52, an act relating to motor vehicle forfeiture, and House Bill 3 relating to the private sale of art.
Any further committee announcements? Representative Brown. Representative Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Two announcements. First, the House House Committee would like to invite all members of this body to a reception this afternoon at 4:30 for the Board of Regents from the University in Representative Adams' office, Capitol 509. And then also Senator Tim Kelly and all the Senate members of the Special Committee on AIDS would like to invite all members of this body to a presentation by Dr. John Middow, the state epidemiologist, this evening at 6:30 p.m. in the Butrovich Room.
Any further committee announcements? Representative Ulmer.
The State Affairs Committee will be taking up the longevity bonus bill for the first time this afternoon. And a lot of the time will be spent as an overview on a number of the changes which have been proposed through the years. So particularly for those new members to the House that would like to understand the background behind the longevity bonus and some of the proposed changes, I'd urge you to come this afternoon at 3 p.m. in room 102. Thank you.
Representative Wallace.
I'd like to announce that the Military and Veterans Affairs Subcommittee meeting, Finance, has been canceled for tomorrow, Thursday. We are taking up the Alaska Division of Emergency Services. The time for the new meeting will be announced later. Thank you.
Any further committee announcements? Any general announcements? Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to remind the members that the State of the Judiciary message will be tomorrow at 10 in the morning, and members should be here about 10 minutes in advance so that we can be ready to go. Secondly, there'll be a ceremony in the Speaker's office this Friday at 5 p.m. Commemorating the 100th birthday of Ernest Greening, and the copies of House Concurrent Resolution 7 will be given to the family members. That'll be in the Speaker's chambers at that time. And finally, I would request that all members retain their bill packets for reconsideration on their desks here on House Bill 120. That was the bill on the power fund we dealt with today. And also for Senate Bill 90, that was the militia bill that's held over until Monday. Thank you.
Any further announcements? Special orders? Representative Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to remind the Anchorage members that we will be having an Anchorage caucus tomorrow. We will be reviewing the Health and Social Services budget for Anchorage. Thank you.
Any further announcements? Back to special orders. Any special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the body stand in adjournment until 9:50 tomorrow morning.
9:50 tomorrow.